Thank you. That was beautiful. I've been wanting to have Dr. Shabazz here for a number of years. The schedule's never worked out, so I'm glad to have him here tonight. Dr. Daeem Shabazz hails from the south side of Chicago and is currently a tenured professor in the School of Business and Industry at Florida A&M University. He holds a bachelor's degree in computer science from Chicago State University and an MBA from Clark Atlanta University and a PhD in International Affairs and Development, also from Clark Atlanta. He also served FAM since 1998 and teaches international business and serves as department chair in marketing and management. Dr. Shabazz learned chess after seeing two neighbors playing chess under a night lamp and learned the moves from an encyclopedia the next day. He played Board 1 for Chicago Vocational High School and led them to the city championship in 1980. A year later, he won the Illinois Junior Championship and has been an active competitor ever since. He is primarily known in the chess world for his creation and operation of the chess drum. That's www.thechessdrum.net. Beautiful website. A 7,000-page website focusing on black chess players worldwide. Later this month, Dr. Shabazz will be covering the Chess Olympiad in Germany, which will feature the top players from around the world. So without further ado, I give you Dr. Shabazz.
Thank you very much, Kevin Feit. I should say good evening, all.
Good evening.
To all the members of the distinguished dais, to the Detroit City Chess Club, the board members of the Detroit City Chess Club, to all the family members, friends, guests, I would like to tell you that I'm very, very honored to be here. And I don't just say that because it's a part of my speech. I'm really, really honored to be here. And as Mr. Feit said earlier, I had been asked to come here as frequently as, you asked me last year, and I wasn't able to make it. And the main reason I wasn't able to make it is because my nephew was coming to visit me at Florida A&M. During homecoming, and my sister and my nephew, was actually my brother's son, came down, and it was very important for him to come down at that time. He's 16 years old, and what I'm trying to do is get him exposed to the college atmosphere so that once he begins to make the plans for college, that he would have an understanding of what it was about. So I understand that you all had a young man here last year, and I think I've heard of him before. His name is Maurice Ashley, and first African-American grandmaster, very wonderful person, very sharp, and he is an icon in not only the black chess community, but also the worldwide chess community, and he's done a great number of things. So tonight, you'll have to settle for me. I have never been to Detroit before. This is my first time, believe it or not, from Chicago, grew up there, never been to Detroit. I have always had an intrigue of the city. Growing up in Chicago, we listened to all the Motown records, and that's one of my favorite genres of music. But never have traveled here. I was treated to a tour of the city this morning. I enjoyed it very much. I saw the Motown Museum. I saw Berry Gordy's former residence. I saw all the schools. I saw old Cass Tech and new Cass Tech. I saw the the Heidelberg Project, which I found very interesting, and I understand it's a worldwide attraction. I also saw some things that are common in many cities. I saw destitution and despair in some of the communities. And you all may realize that we're in a very, very challenging time in terms of economics. And so this is a time where we have to have greater resolve and to make sure that we focused on the future. And obviously the future of our community are the children. And you've heard that before. I think Whitney Houston said it in one of her songs. But when I came here last night and saw the simul taking place, you don't know how good I felt walking into that room. And I immediately, some of you may have seen me, I immediately got my camera out and I just started firing away because I wanted to capture the moment. And to see Kyan Barkley, whom I've known, I guess, for 6 years now. First, I knew of Kyan Barkley prior to actually meeting him, but I first officially met him when he was 12 years old, and he was playing in a tournament in at the Chicago Open, and he had won his first six games as a 12-year-old. Now, granted, he's playing adults, and he's playing teenagers, and he's playing all of the people in different ages. But here, this very young and poised, confident, at that time, young boy was playing, and he lost his last game, but to score 6 out of 7 was pretty special. And from that point on, I knew that this was going to be a very special talent, and I immediately started covering his progress. And he went on to Whitney Young Prep School, and he won the state title 3 times and represented the Illinois at the Dinker Tournament, which is a tournament of high school champions. And this young man is very humble. And that's saying something because he's a freshman at Morehouse, and you know what they say about Morehouse men. They tend to have quite a bit of confidence, but this is a very humble young man. And the last time he won the state title, he actually tied, and the other person, instead of going for a tie break, he said, "I don't want to go, I've been twice, let the other guy go." And that's what happened. So I'm very proud of him. But I was also proud of the young students. 30 players played him in the SIMO, and they were all dressed so nicely. The young brothers had their ties on, and the young girls were looking real sharp, and I just felt so good inside to see that. And here you have, again, with Kyan is 18 years old, and you have players who are not that much younger than he is. And so he's setting the bar, and he set an example, which is which I found to be very special. Where's Kyan at? Could you stand up? This is Kyan Barkley, especially for Morehouse. I also would like to take time to commend the parents. Those of you who have supported your children in chess. Chess is one of the greatest things that ever happened to me in my life. And I say that with the utmost sincerity. And I think perhaps some of the benefits that I have gained from chess, these players, young players, can also gain characteristics in terms of patience, in terms of analytical abilities and skills, the whole idea of making sure that you look before you leap, the whole idea that you have to look at different options before you make a decision. These are all good lessons to learn, and they have really helped me throughout life. So I think parental support is extremely important. Especially nowadays, I see so many things. As you've heard, I'm a college professor, and I get students when they're just coming into adulthood, 18 years old, and then they leave 22, 23 years old when they're young men and women, and I see a change over a period of time. But some of those young men and women, when they come in, you can tell that they haven't had the support. There's some problems that they have in terms of adjustment. And sometimes they may confide in me and tell me certain things, or you'll find that they kind of, and pardon me the word, I can't figure out a better word, but they cling to you. Because they're looking for some support. They're looking for a role model, someone that they can gain some that can help build their confidence. And so it's very important that you continue to support these kids coming through. And the reason why that's so important is because a lot of these programs. And I know one case in Harlem, there was a very successful program that Maurice Ashley had run for years. It was called the Harlem Educational Activities Fund. It was an after-school program where they came to learn chess. And Maurice Ashley was over the program, and there was another master named Gerald Times. And they ran out of funding, and they cut the program, which was a horrible thing because it was a very successful program. And many of those kids that came through the program, they went on, and they became college graduates. Maurice Ashley, in one of his interviews, it was Skip Gates, Henry Louis Gates, who's a professor at Harvard, did an interview with Maurice, and he said, if not for this fund, 90% of these acceptance letters on the wall, he has a wall of acceptance letters to colleges. He said, 90% of this would go away if we didn't have this. So the Detroit City Chess Club I can't express how vital this organization is, and my hats go off to the board members and all of those who make this possible. I didn't have this. I didn't have this type of center growing up. I didn't learn chess until I was 12 years old. That's when I learned the moves. I was into sports, primarily baseball. I played a lot of baseball, so I learned chess a lot later. But I went to a high school, fortunately enough. My high school was between 4,000 and 5,000 students. In our chess club, we had 100 players. Imagine that. This was a public school, and we had 100 players in the club. And the coach started us out at 700. We had a rating of 700, and we had to work our way up. And first year, I didn't play at all. Second year, I started playing, and then over time, I got better. I started studying chess. I started having a lot more discipline than I had previous years. Coming up in Chicago, I was, as I mentioned, I was into sports, but I was also very, and those who know me, Cayenne might be surprised to know this, but I used to get into a lot of scuffles, a lot of fights, you know, back in the day. But as I went on and I began to take the chess and the other and begin the natural maturation process, I became very calm and very patient. And that's one of the attributes that chess has been really a gift for me. The reason why chess is so important is you all understand the situation we're in economically in terms of the financial crisis. Things are very, very tight in terms of the economy, in terms of finances, credit, loans for college. All of these things are becoming very, very scarce. So it's really important for the young boys and girls and young men and women to really take education very seriously, because there are going to be fewer opportunities to get scholarships and to get these loans that you need to go forth. So it's very important to be very focused. Now we have a new president, or president-elect Barack Obama, and we all we're very happy to see that moment. Me being from Chicago, I have I guess a little extra pride in knowing that someone who was actually, I guess you can say, he was trained in Chicago in terms of the area of politics. And I think his wife had a lot to do with his success as well, and her also being a Southside native. This young man has, and he's only 47. You know, he's president of the United States and only 47 years old. He has a big job ahead of him. He has a very big job. And I think a lot of us in our happiness, we think, okay, Barack Obama is in, then he has a magic wand, and Everything is going to be just great. And I think if we think about this in reality, all the things that he is facing, politically, financially, we're in Detroit. And we understand that one of the biggest industries in Detroit is the automotive industry. And we understand the trouble that this industry is in. And we know that back in the early 1900s, many of our ancestors migrated from the South for these opportunities that are now drying up. Which means that we're in a more crucial point in our history, because we're now having to shift in terms of our emphasis on what industries that we concentrate on. So there's a lot of emphasis on technology, on the sciences, and these things that we typically have not had great success in. We typically go into fields, and this is not to say that it's a bad thing, but we're into the professional fields of business, law, and medicine. Those are the areas that we typically focus on. And I'm proud to be a professor in the School of Business, but we do need to get the sciences as well. Because the sciences, that's the engine of growth. Technology is pretty much driving all the economic growth that we see around the world. And the country of India is a perfect example of that. My role as an educator, and I've been at FAMU for since 98, 10 years, and I know it doesn't look like that. I'm on campus, I'm walking around, and people ask me, am I a student all the time? And when I go into the store, we have student discounts in town, and they will say, are you a student? And, you know, I just say, no, I'm not a student. And I think it's, you know, I take that with a sense of pride. But as a professor, I need to ensure that when you all raise your children and send them to me, that I have something good to work with. And when they get to me, I'm glad to do it. But I think supporting programs, not just chess, but athletics and dance programs and all these programs that our children tend to gravitate toward is very important. Now, for those of you who are thinking about college, we have a lot of young men and women in the audience. It's said to be the best years of your life. But when you decide to make that transition to college, you should start early. If you're 15 years old, even 14 years old, you might want to start thinking about that transition. I told you earlier that I was treated to a tour by Mr. Feit, and we also had Kyan Kemp with us. He also joined us, and he's 15 years old at Martin Luther King High. And so he was asking me about college, and he was saying, how does it differ from high school? And I was telling him some of the differences, and I said, you know, there's a greater responsibility when you're in college because you're a young adult, and but you should start thinking about these things now that you're 15. Go on some of these college tours. I'm sure they have them here in Detroit. You're in high school, you're junior and senior, you're going on these college tours where they take a bus, and these buses go through various towns, and they visit different colleges. And then you, depending on the size of the tour, you might visit about 8 or 10 colleges. And then you're able to see what college you like and perhaps what you might want to study. Now, I will say this about life in general, and there are people in here who have had more birthdays than me, but life is not a straight line. You may think that, okay, I want to be this when I grow up. I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a rap star, a basketball player. And you may have very justified reasons for doing that. And you may say, I want to get there as soon as I can. But life is not a straight line. And you may have read my bio, and you see that I majored in computer science, then got an MBA, which was in marketing, and then I ended up in international affairs. Now, that doesn't seem like a straight line. So at certain points in my life, I made a decision. I had to analyze just like a chess game. I got to a certain juncture, and then I said, okay, I'm at this point. Now where do I want to go? What route gives me the most options? And so after I figured that out, I made another decision. Then I got to another point, and then I revisited the question. Okay, I'm here. Now where do I want to go? So just like a chess game, your life can take turns. It can take, you can move left sometimes, you can move right, and you're not moving backwards, but you're looking at how to get to that point B. But it's not always a straight line. So those who are young now and thinking about college, you may start out thinking that, okay, I want to be a doctor, and you may have a change in heart, and there's nothing wrong with that. So, but now is the time to begin making your plans, if you're of age, to start thinking about college. And I know of many good colleges, and one in particular, Florida A&M. If you have aspirations of attending, particularly an HBCU, I would highly recommend Florida A&M. We are known for a lot of things, but one thing that we're known for a lot is our marching band. You may have seen us. We're called, our nickname is the Rattlers, but we're called the Marching 100. There are actually 428 members in that band, and I'll tell you, they put on the show. We're also known for program business, or pharmacy. We have architectural engineering and many other programs. But historically, black colleges and universities are very important institutions in our community. And if you hear your counselor telling you, well, you don't want to consider those schools because they're not as good as the other schools, you should attend these other schools, I would say you should do some research. These institutions are still very important in our development. You're in a different environment. You get nurturing professors, support. You don't have to worry so much about people saying things that you might not like. You may get some of that anyway, naturally, being amongst your peer group. But it's just a very, very wonderful experience to be a part of that community. And when I was a PhD student at Clark Atlanta, and it was very hard, very difficult. It took me 6.5 years, 14 hours a day. That's all I did. I left the house around 6 in the morning, and I got back at about 6 in the evening, sometimes later. But at Clark Atlanta, it was such a supportive environment that people, my professors, whom I've had before, they would say, well, how's it going? And they would give me supportive advice. Students that I had, I was teaching there, they would urge me, you know, to continue on. Professors that I didn't know urged me on. People behind the screen porch in the neighborhood, they would see me coming and going. They would say, hey, how's it going? How is your dissertation going? And I said, it's going well. It's, you know, I'm getting through. And that experience I will never forget. The PhD is hard enough in and of itself not to have support, but being in that environment really helped me. And now I'm at FAMU, and I would like to think that I'm a professor that provides that type of support for students. So that's just a shameless plug for FAMU and HBCUs. I had to throw that in there wearing my FAMU hat. Now, in terms of what was pointed out in my bio, what I'm known for in the chess world, I created a website years ago called the Chess Drum. And you probably wonder, what's this drum? How did you get the drum idea? Well, the idea behind the drum is, you all may know that the drum is an instrument that is used for communication in primarily African societies, but also other societies as well. And this drum instrument, you've heard of talking drums, where you had the drummers, they would have the certain beats that they would emit over the airwaves, and then people in the next village would hear the beat, and then you had another drummer that would transmit it to another village, and then so on and so forth. So this drum is a communicative vehicle. So I figured, okay, drum, chess, African, this is a nice name that people can remember. So it's a site that focuses on players of African descent around the world. I have covered players from Sweden, and you probably didn't know we had black folks in Sweden. We have a grandmaster in Sweden who was born in Colombia, South America, another place where we have a lot of black folks that we don't hear a lot about. But I have covered players the world over. We have some very talented players, and it's not often mentioned in the news. Now, you all have seen the 6 o'clock, and there's no offense to Gil Perkins here, but you look at the news and the type of information you get about black men and black folks in general tends to be a bit on the negative side. And but when you hear someone like Amaris Ashley, I mean, his story is out there. Everybody knows his story, but there are so many stories that have not been told. I was talking to Kyene Kemp over lunch, and he was talking about all the accomplishments he had. Is Kyene in the room? I know he said that he had planned to come. But he talked about some of the things that he had done, and he said, well, I go to USCF chess site, and I go to these websites, and nothing is covered about these accomplishments. And so this is the reason that I wanted to do this type of site, because I felt that people didn't know. They look, perhaps they know we're good in sports, entertainment, and in some other fields, but in terms of intellectualism, maybe you don't really see that example a lot. I think Barack Obama is going to change a lot of that, which is a good thing. Also, by the way, he supports chess. If you go to the chess drum, you'll see a story on Barack Obama, and there's a YouTube video that I added where he's talking about the Harlem's Children's Zone, which is this after-school program where they have a chess component. And so he talks about chess and how that has helped the kids gain better study skills, and it's a program that has been very successful. But that's my contribution to the chess world, and I'm not being exclusive. I'm not saying, okay, we're separating just black chess and it's separate from the other chess. What I'm doing is being inclusive. I want to show people that we play chess and we want to be a part of the general chess community, and it's a very popular site. And I'm not trying to puff my chest out. I'm not that kind of person. But it's visited in over 200 countries and territories. It has over 7,000 pages, and I get about maybe 2,500 visitors a month. So it's a pretty decent site, and I enjoy covering these type of events. And I already have a story on the site about the SIMO that was given last night. And I'll have other pictures and perhaps some pictures of this event. So in terms of my role in chess, I really would like to see chess become a bigger part of our communities. I think there's a lot of value in chess. The whole idea of patience, being able to analyze, look at decisions before you make hasty decisions. I think that chess is something that you can do all of the rest of your life. I mean, it's not like me growing up playing baseball. After a while, it's like, okay, I can't do this anymore. You know, your joints, a lot of you are not of age yet when your joints, start to hurt when the weather changes. I'm not that old either, but since I've had a lot of injuries to my joints, I do get some pains, my knees and my hands. From having sprained fingers from baseball. But I think we really need to push this agenda, and anything that I can do to help further the goals of the Detroit City Chess Club, I'm here to serve in that capacity. And I do that with no alternate agenda. I don't have donations. I don't have a sponsor. All of this is pretty much is out of pocket that I do. In closing, I would like to leave a poem. This is a poem I learned many years ago when I was going through a process, Brother Perkins. There's a process that I went through. It was a fraternal process where we had to learn a series of poems. And these are poems I'd never forget, because I had to say them under, I was tested, so you had to say them perfectly. But there's one of my favorite poems was called The Man Who Thinks He Can. And I'd like to leave this as a closing thought. And it goes, if you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win but think that you can't, it's almost a sense you won't. If you think you'll lose, you've lost. For out in the world we find success begins with a fellow's will, it's all in the state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You have to think high to rise. You have to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but soon or late, the man who wins is the one who thinks he can. Thank you.